I'm going to be reading from the book of Habakkuk today. We're going to start with chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. The Lord replied, "Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay." I've entitled the message today, "Wait for It." And our lives are characterized by speed, impatience, noise, activity. And occasionally, we throw in a little panic. And these days, the world measures us by how fast we can get to something, as opposed to doing it in the right way. We're measured, our success is measured by how fast we get to things. And so we're in a constant panic. And so that's the source of many of our problems for us, because we tend to get impatient. Amen. We sometimes move too quickly or in the wrong direction. You can take your seat. I'm sorry. According to a recent study, Americans spend about 37 billion hours waiting in line each year, which is equivalent to about 5 years of a person's life. And these days, we wait for everything, right? Our foods, our cars to charge, lines, customer service, traffic lights, even our Amazon packages. Amen? We are a waiting people. And I'm in a unique season of waiting. I have a little one on the way. And as we, amen, praise God. And as we wait patiently now, that was not always the case. At the beginning of the pregnancy, we had one of the worst times in our lives. Sister Christian was diagnosed with hyperemesis gravidarum. Hyperemesis is a pregnancy disease that causes extreme and persistent nausea and vomiting. And for Christian, it was nonstop around the clock. She couldn't keep anything down. She could barely move. And because we were first-time parents, we were like, okay, I guess this is normal, right? This is how it's supposed to be. And so we did our best to manage it, and tried our hardest to make her comfortable. And so we proceeded because, you know, we knew that was part of the plan. We knew that there's growing pains in pregnancy when you're birthing something new. And during Christmas time, we headed to Yuma to visit Christian's parents. And the constant vomiting continued. So we decided to drive back, and we headed straight to the ER. And when we got there at 5 p.m. 5 p.m. And they didn't see us till 5 a.m. We were waiting 12 hours. Her systems were persistent. Christian is in extreme pain. We want the baby to live. Desperation starts to kick in. And now the questions to God start. Lord, we serve you faithfully. We are committed. We love you. We're engaged in all aspects of the church. What's going on? And the part that threw me over the edge was that hyperemesis is actually very uncommon. Only 3% of pregnant people ever get it. So it irked me, because like, why us? Why are you doing this, right? And we have these questions to God, and we bring these things to God. And I'm not questioning God, but I do have questions. And so this book, Habakkuk, this prophet, is in the same dilemma. He is looking at what is happening, and he's crying out to God for answers. Habakkuk saw Judah's rapid moral and spiritual decline, and this deeply troubled him. At this point, the northern tribes of Israel had fallen to Assyria, and now God is telling Habakkuk that the southern tribes would be invaded by Babylon because the people were turning away from God. And unlike the other Hebrew prophets, Habakkuk doesn't accuse Israel or even speak to the people on God's behalf. Instead, all of his words are addressed to God. So this is personal. He's not going over here to hear God and go over there. No, we're going toe to toe, God. I need to hear from you. I need you to answer me. Right? And we all have those times in our lives where we come to God in that manner. All right. And there's a few points I want to pull out, because Habakkuk has two complaints to God, and God answers them. And there's a few lessons that I want to put out. And the first one is, God is always moving. He is always working. Amen. Habakkuk gets right to it in chapter 1, verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for your help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. That question, how long, is a question we all ask from time to time. Is it not? How long do I cry out without an answer? How long do I stand here waiting for you? How long must I carry this disease, this burden? How long must I endure? God, why don't you do something? God knows when times get tough, we are likely to doubt him. Let's consider the behavior of the Israelites recorded in Exodus. And this is the pattern of God's people. Amen. God delivered them from Egypt, where they were there for centuries. God was with them, but they still cried out to the Lord. I have this table, if Brother Isaac, if you can put it up. They had a problem, there was a reaction, and there was God's response. You might not be able to see it, you might be able to see it. The Egyptian army is bearing down on the people at the Red Sea. That's their problem. The people's reaction, we'll die here. God's response, God parts the Red Seas and closes it on the Egyptians. Problem, food begins to run out. We'll starve. God provides manna every day. They camp where there's no water. We'll die of thirst. Moses strikes a rock, water. They get tired only of eating manna. God doesn't care. God provides quail. Moses is on Mount Sinai for 40 days. People's reaction, make a golden calf. Moses returns. God eventually forgives them. I'm sure all of us can make a table like this and see God's movement in our lives. Too often when we get in our moments of crisis, we cry out to the Lord, woo me, and forget how much he has done for us already. Even when the Israelites doubted, God came through for them. And he does so for us to this day. We serve a God that says the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? We might not always have the full picture, but God is moving on our behalf. Amen? And so God answers Habakkuk and says, look at the nations and watch. Be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told. Here's where a lot of us begin to get stuck. We think that we can handle what God is doing and how he's doing it until the process starts. We want God to move, but we want God to move in the way that we envision. God saw the deep corruption amongst his people. And he tells Habakkuk that he's summoning Babylon. And he's going to use Babylon to bring down judgment to a rebellious Israel. And it's the same with us today. God sees our heart, our intentions, our willingness, or lack thereof, and he will use it to move us. Amen? Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. As you can imagine, Habakkuk was not happy with that answer. He says, Are you serious? Are you going to use them, Lord? I could completely see Habakkuk going like, Lord, you don't get it. Amen? And that's how we are sometimes, right? We forget who we're talking to. We want to tell him what to do, how to do it. We don't want to go through the process, right? If you would have told me 14 years ago when I gave my life to Christ that I would be in this pulpit with a beautiful wife, a baby on the way, and grafted into a fifth generation apostolic family, I wouldn't have believed you. There's no way. I was like, me? No way. But I would have definitely been like, sign me up, you know, because that sounds good to me, right? But then if you told me the road to getting there, the pain, the suffering, the heartache, losing family, losing friends, to get to this point, if God would have showed me all that, maybe I say no. And so God knows exactly what we need, how we need it, and when we need it. Church, God is saying something for you. He has something for you. But you were not going to believe how he's going to do it. You have to come with him in faith and understand that he knows all things and he will bring all things according to his time. Amen? Second point I have for you today. God knows everything. Sometimes God has us in waiting periods because he wants to perfect us and refine us. Other times he has us in waiting periods because we are outside of his will. Where do you find yourself today? Are you in God's will or are you in your own will? Habakkuk 2:4 says, see, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright, but the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. The righteous shall live by faith. That's the vision. That's the plan. Amen. You either get it or you don't. There's no lukewarm. Amen? And here's the warning, church. Let's not ever think that we are too good that we cannot become like Babylon. The fact that God might use for a time a corrupt nation like Babylon doesn't mean that he endorses what they do. He holds all nations accountable to his justice, and Babylon will fall along all other nations that acts like them. So what we do in our waiting season matters. We will either start conforming to the patterns of this world or we will serve God. God spends the next few verses talking about five woes, things that hurt him. And he's talking about Babylon, but it applies to us today. Brother Isaac, if you can put the graph up. There are five things that are get to the heart of God and it starts separating us from him. The first two points have to do with unjust economics. Babylon cheated people out of their money to keep the people where they were. What you do with your money matters. Amen. The third point had to do with slave labor. Babylon treated humans like animals and threatened them with violence. How you treat people matters. The fourth point had to do with abuse of substances and immorality. Babylon's leaders abused alcohol and sex. So what you do with your flesh matters. And the fifth point dealt with idolatry. Babylon relied on idols, on themselves, on their own power. What has your attention today? And who is directing you? That matters. Am I directing myself or is God? Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Given the human condition, most people will eventually become Babylon. Amen. What we do during our waiting time, how we do it, God knows. He knows the deepest, darkest secrets that we have. He knows our plans that we have. He knows what we do, what we don't do. He knows how our heart works and how it doesn't work. He is wanting us to come to Him. He wants us to throw everything at His feet because He is the only one that can get us to righteousness. He's the only one that can set us right. And if we don't, we will begin to separate ourselves and we'll begin to look at ourselves more like Babylon than God's people. And so it hurts God when we're not doing our part, when we become our own gods. And that's what Babylon was doing during this time. They thought they could do everything whenever they wanted, how they wanted to do it. They were one of the most evilest of people. It was hard. It was a hard time. And that's why Habakkuk was, what's going on here? How is it that you're going to use these people? These people are worse than me. I'm only a little sinner. These are big sinners. You know? And we want God, to move in a way that is going to be comfortable to us. And God doesn't always work that way. There are things that are going to cost you. There are things that you're going to have to pay a price for. And as I get ready to be a father, there are certain examples that I have to set. And you, the parents and the wanting to be parents and getting married, all these things matter. All the things, all the holding that you do, the directing that you do, to get your sons and daughters to the kingdom of God, all of that matters. And what we want to do is not rely on what we know, but on what God knows. And if we continue to bring the people over to God, if we continue to bring our needs over to God, He says, and He makes it very clear that He will answer us without delay. Amen? My third point, don't let your circumstance keep away your praise. At the end of chapter 2, God calls for silence, almost to allow us to reflect on what He just said. Where do you stand? Do you look more like Babylon, or do you look more like your Creator? The Word of God says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. He's giving us time to reflect. And you got to look into your own heart. I can't look into my neighbor's heart. You have to look into your own heart. What is God doing with you? What is God doing with me? Where do I stand? Do I look more like Babylon? Do I look more like God's people? Amen. And God outlines clearly why His judgment must come. The people have turned away from God. And sometimes we don't think that we've done that. Sometimes we think that we haven't left God. Sometimes we think that we're in the will of God when we're not. And we have to constantly check ourselves and check our hearts and our spirits so we know that God is the one working and not us. Amen? And so Habakkuk has this transformation. He has this change of heart. Right? And he goes from questioning God and saying, woo me, why is this happening? Why is this going on? And he goes from not understanding God to a powerful prayer. And even though there's so much going around him, he is choosing now to trust God. He's not going to understand it. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what's going to go on. He doesn't know how God's going to do it. But he's deciding to trust the Lord. He's going to live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Right? That is a scripture that is almost a motto of ours, right? because it doesn't come because we're going to see it. It's going to become because we have faith in God, the God who can do all things to make it happen. Amen? And often, one of the tests in the season of waiting is whether or not we're going to take matters into our own hands. That's what the flesh wants to do. That's what, you know, our minds sometimes want to do, to speed up the clock. We want it here, we want it now. It doesn't matter what the cost is, doesn't matter who I hurt, what I do, doesn't matter. That's something that the flesh does, right? In God's timing, God comes in and does it in a way that it's going to be obvious and it's not going to be painful to you. Amen? And so our worst enemy is ourselves. It's the flesh, right? We get in our own way. Because if we believe what God is saying, if we believe what God is doing, then we know that he has everything perfectly ordered. Amen? 12 hours passed by in that waiting room. 12 hours. You can only imagine as a worried husband what I was trying to do to get some answers. Christian had lost 20 pounds in less than 2 weeks. She could barely walk. At this point, she was barely talking. We needed help. Her body couldn't take it anymore. We finally get admitted and are presented with two options. You choose your health or you choose the baby. You can't have both. My heart ached. My heart ached like it's never ached before. The choice was my wife or my child. My wife or my child. And this is how good God is. Because we chose God, and we prayed, and we worshiped, and spoke to God at faith levels I had never experienced. And God unlocked something in me during that waiting period that I did not know I had. Isaiah 64:4 says, "Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him." God is telling us that if we wait for him, if we trust him, if we lean on him, you will see him do things in your life that go beyond our comprehension. If we refuse to act on what we want to do, we're going to see God do what he wants to do and what he's desiring to do in our lives. And in your season of waiting, church, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to have these conversations with God. God can take our hardest of problems, our deepest of worries. But don't wrestle with these things with yourself and the world. Take them to God. Wrestle with God. And don't let go until he blesses you. The promise is, though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. How many of you all have been waiting for something that God wants to do in your life? How many of you all are in a season of waiting? What are we doing in this season? How are we treating God in this season of waiting? Are we all in? Do we care about what God cares about? Or do we care about only what we care about? And so God will do things. God will bring people. God will put gifts, talents in your lives for you to use. Me being up here in this pulpit today is a witness to how good God is. I don't deserve it. I don't ever think I'm worthy, but God does. And I believe in a God that knows all, that will is a creator of heaven and earth, and has directed my steps. And Habakkuk has this change of heart, and he goes into this prayer. And he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes but on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, though I do not understand what is going on in my life, though I feel lost and alone in this season, though my pain is excruciating and I can't take it anymore, though life is not going the way that I expected, though my relationships are waiting, though I do not have the job I want, though I feel like my only escape is to leave it all, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, and He will take care of everything. We serve a mighty God. We serve an all-powerful God. And we know that we can't do this alone. And church, I'm here to tell you today that you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice whether you're going to serve God and everything that comes with it, or you're going to play God and on Sundays be good and the rest of the week be bad. But just know that you're constantly going to be in that waiting period. God is never going to transform a spirit that doesn't want to be transformed. God is a gentleman. Amen? But we have to choose. We have to choose to honor God. We have to choose to give Him our all. Even when we're uncomfortable, even when we might not have the exact words to say. God does. And we have to choose to serve Him. Amen? Joshua, as he was getting ready to be with the Lord, is talking to his people. And he's trying to guide them. He's trying to tell them, you can avoid judgment. You can avoid the hurt, the pain, but you're going to have to make a choice. He says in Joshua 24, 14 and 15, now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make the choice today, church. Make the choice to serve the Lord. Make God your foundation, your pillar. Because without Him, you're not going to be able to move in this life peacefully. You have to make a choice. You want answers? Serve the Lord. You want your pain to be taken away? Serve the Lord. You want new opportunities? Serve the Lord. That's the only way that it's going to come. And I don't tell you because it was easy. I tell you because it was hard. It's been hard to serve the Lord, but the reward that is in serving the Lord will go beyond measure. Why? Because His promise is that it's coming. Wait for it. It will not delay. We thank the Lord for what He does, for His goodness. And we'll ask you to stand up now, church. We know that God is constantly working in our lives. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than what we ask or think, exceedingly and abundantly." What does this say? If He is able to do it, more often than not, He will. He is able. Are you able? Are you willing? What God are you serving? Are you serving the God that can do it or the God that can't do it? Because sometimes we hold on to our issues, our problems, our circumstances, instead of coming to the altar and leaving it for the Lord. The altar has nothing to do with interacting with the preacher. It has everything to do with coming in contact with the living God. The last 2 weeks we spent in Yuma, and the brothers and sisters there, they're flipped in regards to our age group. Everybody there is 75 plus. We're the youngins. But one thing that I saw that was so beautiful, and maybe it's the season that they're in, but it's such a beautiful lesson, is that they didn't wait to be invited to come to the altar. They knew who they were going to find if they came to the altar. They knew what they were going to get when they come to the altar. And so much we have to beg and plead and tell you, come. You should be wanting to come. You want things to change? Come to the altar. You want your circumstance to be different? Come to the altar. You want God to use you? Come to the altar. God will not delay.